Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
This has been a year when Australia's beloved sports culture has time and time again been embroiled in scandal and controversy. The drug scandals, management issues, shock sacking of coaches, the list goes on and on. This week has been much the same, and it has me thinking, when are we going to be able to relax again and just enjoy watching and playing sport? Joining us now with real insight into the world of sport is our Open House sporting guru, Olympian Thomas Whalen. Thomas, welcome back to Open House.
Thank you very much, Lee. Always a pleasure.
Good on you, mate. It's quite a year, isn't it? Let's start with cycling. This is deja vu. Stuart O'Grady admitted to performance-enhancing drug use this past week. Do you think these recent exposures of drug cheats elsewhere has put pressure on other athletes to come out like this?
Yeah, a real shame to the sport. Cycling's obviously really trying to clean up its image, and it's a big shame that this has come out again, whether it's 10 years ago or today. It's a big shame. And the biggest shame, I think, about it was that it was the catalyst for this was the French Senate report that came out naming Stuart O'Grady, and that brought about his admission to EPO as opposed to his conscience getting the better of him and him coming out himself and saying that. But yeah, I think all of this has put a lot of pressure on athletes to come out and really to put their hand up who have done the wrong thing and to admit it. It'd almost be the best situation now because people are obviously putting their hands up and things are coming to light. So why not join them if you are one of those silly people who have done that?
It's so disappointing. He says he only did it once, but once is enough, isn't it?
You know, how do you believe somebody who is obviously admitting to or telling a very, very big lie,
yes,
for them to say, look, I only lied once, but I didn't lie twice. So it's very difficult for the sporting public to believe that. And whether you do or don't, I don't think that's the issue. The issue is that he made a choice back there to accept performance-enhancing drugs, an illegal substance to get an edge over his competitors, and very unfortunate.
Thomas, he was on the Australian Olympic Athletes Committee. Was the broader Olympic Committee right to call for him to stand down?
Yeah, look, absolutely. We all know that the Australian Olympic Committee really has a strong voice and is a strong advocate against doping in sport, and rightly so. We all expect fair play. We all expect the Australian Olympic Committee to uphold those values that we hold so true as supporters of Australian sport, of world sport, of international sport. And I think they made the right decision to make that call.
How does someone get elected to that position? Is there a way to have a better process in electing people to that committee? Because it's quite a crucial post.
Yeah, look, I believe the process is a fair one. What happens is that every sport, female and male, they get the right to put a representative up for election by the Australian Olympic members. So all of the athletes compete at the Olympics. They get the right to have a vote for who they want in their athletes' commission. And that way you've got not a whole lot of kind of swimmers or cyclists or runners or one sport represented, but there's a good broad spectrum of athletes represented and sports represented. So I think it is a fair way that it is elected. And, you know, unfortunately, as has been the case for Stuart, he's been able to go through in his sport for many, many years unchecked with this doping case. And that's obviously going to happen in these circumstances.
As with any leader in any endeavour in life, they lead by example and from the front, which is why something like this, with someone like this, holding the position that he had, was so disappointing.
Yeah, look, it really is disappointing. I think as a society, rightly or wrongly, we look up to elite athletes and their achievements. When they put on that club jersey or our state jersey or our national jersey, they're really representing us, the fans, the supporters, the people that spend that money to go to the events to support them, the sponsors that put that money together because they're trying to create a brand association with a champion that we all look up to. To find out that they've cheated means they haven't only cheated against their competitors, but they've really cheated against their very many supporters, and they've lied to their supporters. So I think it's a real shame when somebody we see and hold and value as a true leader lets us down by the admission of telling a major lie.
Thomas, should he be stripped of his medals, his titles, in your view?
Yeah, look, it's a very difficult topic, and I certainly wouldn't be against it if that was the IOC's way about going for that. And I think the IOC has gone a long way in ensuring that doping is taken out of our sport, and it may be a hard line because you can look at it two ways. You can say, well, look, he said he only took it at this instance, and you can look at the environment that he was in and the people around him and the competitors around him. But if they were to make a decision to say, look, we just don't support drugs and we're going to strip him of his medal, then it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. But there are a lot of other athletes out there that are very similar in terms of great athletes that have come through the ranks in running and sprinting that comes to mind, and I'm not sure whether they've actually stripped them of their medals themselves.
Like to talk about better news, but moving on to the AFL drug scandal, there are claims this past week that the AFL boss Andrew Demetriou tipped off Essendon chairman David Evans about the ASADA investigation. Can we really believe leaks like this?
Oh, look, I really wouldn't want to believe a leak like this. Unfortunately, look, I think this is really a society issue. You look back through history, you look at different industries, you look at the finance industry, and we saw throughout the GFC that a lot of stories come to light like this. And sport, it's obviously going to happen as well. It's just another one of those industries that it's not because it's sport, it's not because of certain clubs, but it's probably the character of individuals in those industries that unfortunately believe that tipping off a mate may be the way to go. I'm not sure whether this was true or not, but it wouldn't surprise me in terms of what goes on behind the scenes.
How about club management? Should they be dealing with these issues better? And not just damage control, it includes damage control, but right from the start, have a posture of integrity.
Yeah, look, I think it's always difficult to foresee these kinds of issues coming at you and then to know, secondly, exactly how to respond to them.
Yeah.
But it goes to what you said. It's really about what a club does to create a culture of integrity in the first place, that this should never really come to light. If they've got their culture really down packed, if they've got their values down packed, and they really don't allow any of that kind of rot to come into their system, and they've got processes in place to ensure that, I think that's probably the best solution than kind of looking after the fact and going, oh, look, we kind of forgot about this, or we didn't really talk about it, we weren't open about it. And the result is you unfortunately have to go into damage control, and in many instances it's a much harder way to go about solving an issue because you just don't know what to do sometimes.
And again, leadership is critical. You've captained an Olympic team. How do you hold them together? How do you set examples? How do you lead from the front and by example?
It's basically everything that you do, and it's not just in the pool. As a leader, when I was with the water polo team, it's not just in the pool, but it's making the effort and being true to yourself and true to those around you to ensure that you're living by the way that you expect your peers to live as well, that you're putting everything into the team that you expect your peers to be. And you've got to be talking not just to the team, but to the management, to team psychologists, to physios, to everybody, that whole support structure. Mm. And it's also up to a sport in general to try and create a culture from the top all the way down. And that's really encouraging leaders. It's trying to develop leaders. But it goes back to what I said before about a club culture or creating a national body culture of one that just doesn't stand for anything that gets in the way of that positive culture. When someone does something stupid, and takes away from that image, whether that's going out and getting drunk and getting on the front page of the papers for the wrong things, that just shouldn't be allowed in a sport, and the punishment really needs to come out and ensure that you just won't stand for that. So when it comes back to a team, I think you just need to live in the way that you expect all of your players to live by. And when you're putting such high value and time and your life into something, you just can't allow that to get entrenched in your sport and your love.
Okay, finally, still want to talk about good news, but I've got to talk about the cricket.
Cricket.
No, they're in a pretty bad position heading into the third Ashes test. How much do you think the shaky lead-up has affected their performance?
Oh, look, it's affected it in a large way. Every athlete on the telly, they'll tell you, no, look, we're all right. You know, there's a good team feeling amongst here and everything. But the truth is, behind the scene, that support network, when you're questioning your coach, and he's obviously been sacked. When you're questioning your high performance manager, when you're questioning your vice captain or your other leaders in the team, and that's brought to light, there's obviously major issues in there, and you can't just wipe them under the carpet and think that they're not there. I think this is having a huge impact on the team. Obviously, these cricketers individually are much better than the team at the moment, but they're just not showing that because that team culture is not right. And all of this kind of negative press in the lead up to the Ashes is playing a huge role in their results.
Okay, so again, as an athlete, how do you bounce back when there's low performance, low morale, and intense pressure, immense pressure to perform?
It's being honest and open with your team. I do recall in the London 2012 Olympics, we were in a situation where we had to play Greece to get into the quarterfinals. And it was a do or die, pretty much. It would have been the worst performance, I think, for my Olympic career. And I'd put so much on the line. I'd given up time with my family and friends and put everything into it. And if we'd lost there, I would have been so upset. So I saw that our team just wasn't reaching its potential. And so we all got into a room, basically, locked the door, 3 hours. We had a go at each other. We pointed the finger as to who was to blame in certain situations. We went through a video for 2 hours. And the beauty of that was that in that situation, we'd created a culture before this, but in that situation, we were honest enough and man enough to kind of put our hands up and say, yep, you know what, that was my fault. I'm not quite understanding what our defence is. We went all the way back to the basics, and we went through everything again and what our goals were and what our tactics were. And we came out against Greece, and we absolutely smashed them out of the water. We played the best game I think I've ever played for Australia before.
Wow.
So I think when you're down and out, there's certainly still ways to turn it around, but it really comes down to the integrity of the individuals and the team to work together, to realise that you're all working towards something. You're all sacrificing a lot to be there, and you can turn that around.
When you see the media's coverage of all this, and sometimes the media's performance, do you wish you could all lock the media in the box and just get on with it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure for the athletes, of course, they don't want to be losing. And the negative stories get bigger and bigger because you've got to sell papers and you've got to keep it interesting, I suppose. And unfortunately, yes, our culture, the Australian culture, is that tall poppy syndrome. And in sometimes in America, where we kind of think it's a bit weird, but they actually really champion their athletes and they really support them. And they're like, go USA. And it seems full on, but it's such a positive environment. But unfortunately, with the media, a lot of the time we're looking at the negative stories. It's difficult not to, I suppose, though, in the Ashes case, unfortunately, because we love to see success, rightfully so, in Australia, and we're just not getting that.
Because for the vast majority of Aussies, we still like sitting down, as I said at the outset, and watching a good game or a good sporting competition.
Oh, we absolutely do. You know, whether we win or lose, at least if we see a great game, a close one, I think we're pretty happy for it, as we've seen in at least the first two British Lions games. Unfortunately, the last one we weren't happy with. But you can appreciate a good game when it's a close one, when it's fair, when it's not won or lost by controversy. Unfortunately, even in the Ashes, you've got the video referee now that people are kind of questioning. It's a bit unfortunate that a decision may have been pivotal to the outcome of the game. But look, I'm sure we'll still get many great games coming forward with the Ashes. I'm still hopeful that we're going to see some wonderful batting and some of the juniors coming through, as we saw in the last few games.
Hope so. Thomas Whalen, always love chatting. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for joining us again on Open House.
Always a pleasure, Lee. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.